Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Assassination. You know what's interesting about assassination?
George Carlin, and boy, isn't this true this morning.
Assassination. You know what's interesting about assassination? Well, not only does it change those popularity polls in a big f***ing hurry, but it's also interesting to notice who it is we assassinate. Do you ever notice who it is? Stop to think of who it is we kill. It's always people who've told us to live together in harmony and try to love one another. Jesus, Gandhi, Lincoln, John Kennedy, Bobby Kennedy, Martin Luther King, Medgar Evers, Malcolm X, John Lennon. They all said, try to live together peacefully. Bam! Right in the f***ing head.
Look, we're at the point right now, Lee, where we need to do everything that we can to stop this assassination trend from catching on and becoming the hottest, hippest, coolest thing on the left, because we are in very real danger of that happening. As I look at this website this morning, this is a website dedicated to doxing people who either called for more assassinations, and you should see Blue Sky this morning. It is a bloodbath. It's just a person, after pretty, it's just the leftist, which is the leftist, you know, social media site, Lee, calling for more assassinations, and they're putting together a list of who should die, who needs to be killed next. This is a serious thing. This is not a one-off, and we need to stop that. And the best way to do that is for people who post this stuff to be doxxed and lose their jobs. We do not want them to lose their free speech. I do not want Elon Musk to take down a single one of their accounts. They have First Amendment rights. But you do not have a right to a job after you call for the killing of people that you disagree with. That is not censorship. Censorship is taking away your account, as was done to us, as was done to me. I've lost 2 out of 3 YouTube accounts. I'm on the verge of losing another one because I've got strikes now for telling you the truth again. They don't live that way. We do. We were persecuted. The largest firing operation, Lee, in history gets, we're up to 50,000 submissions. It's called Expose Charlie's Murderers. And it's a website dedicated to publicizing social media posters who've taken a celebratory attitude toward Charlie Kirk's death and unmasking them. We seek to collect and archive instances of individuals promoting or glorifying of political violence. Much like archive.org or archive.is, we firmly denounce all political violence and criminal activity. The site is an open invitation for employers to take in action against employees who are either looking to express opinions glorifying the murder of Charlie Kirk, or God forbid, as these individuals at Clemson, making veiled or almost overt calls for more assassinations. And Lee, this is how we said we have got to stop this. And the best way is to stop the chatter, to stop the thrill, to stop the momentum on the left of the love of this thing. And making people afraid of losing their jobs is a key part of literally saving lives. And that is why the leadership at Clemson, the president of Clemson, needs to behave in a humane way that saves lives and stop protecting these professors. Stop protecting these employees and fire them. We're not going to call this free speech.
Well, you have a First Amendment right to free speech, but you don't have a right to ignore the consequences of that
free
speech.
Yes. When we are calling for assassinations, we are praising assassinations, you do not have a right to a job. And if people are afraid of consequences for saying these things, they will not say that.
Well, that type of behavior should not be allowed from a social standpoint.
No, our culture, it's not acceptable.
You know, and it's That's where I'm really disappointed, is that there are not others who may not necessarily agree with us politically are not being more vociferous in their objection to this type of behavior. This is the kind of thing we need to see. I mean, when you have people who make inappropriate comments on the right, we quickly, most of the time, quickly denounce those people and say, you know, we're done with you. So I see the moral relativism that some people think is, well, both sides. No. I agree with you. What we have seen here is someone who was a moderate, someone who did reach out, someone who did go to the other side, who did extend a hand, who did extend a microphone, who gave a voice to people that disagreed with him from a theological and political standpoint, and they took his life. They collectively took his life.
And Robin Newberry works at Clemson's six-figure salary, program manager of the asbestos remediation program. So he's not a professor. I checked it. God, he's not in the classroom.
So a toxic comment from someone who deals with a toxic substance.
Exactly. Wrote, in a world full of Charlie Kirks and Brian Thompsons, be a Tyler Robinson or Luigi Mangione. Calling that's a call for more assassinations. We're not going to pretend it's anything but that.
That's exactly what the intent of that is.
This from Clemson, where the faculty lauded Black Lives Matter during a time when the left was doing $2 billion worth of violent damage. That is the insurance industry's final tally for what they paid out. And during a time period where 32 people were murdered as a result of that Black Lives Matter violence, including a police captain who merely was trying to keep a friend's store from being robbed. He was gunned down. And that was cool with Clemson. That was cool. It was cool with the leadership. They celebrated Black Lives Matter. They were marching. They emblazoned the football team with it. Everything was great. It was all fine. Violence was awesome.
And they were not alone in that.
And they were not alone in that.
NFL was doing it. All the college teams were doing it. So.
And meanwhile, the college Republicans can't even get their events listed on the university Instagram that announces events. And yet, if there's a drag show, they'll promote it there. And when they criticize the leadership for that and for the immorality of holding a drag show, they were absolutely blasted by the faculty all the way to the top in an open letter for just wanting their event promoted like drag shows are on Clemson's campus. That was a problem. But apparently, Lee, if you want to kill the right people, that's A-OK at Clemson. As long as you're not talking about killing the wrong people, you see what I'm saying? Like George Floyd, his death was absolutely wall-to-wall at Clemson. Black Lives Matter celebrated even as violence was being committed in their name. That was fine. And we're going to tolerate that this Robin Newberry, who tweets, F these Nazis. They stood by and said nothing when Democrats were assassinated. But now that one of their own, a cancer on our Constitution that has now thankfully been ameliorated, i.e. done away with, they lose their starts with S, ends with T. Okay, first of all, when Democrats were assassinated, he's talking about Minnesota. They were assassinated by a Democrat. We condemned it. We don't want Democrats killing Democrats. We didn't do it. But they have to pretend because there's no equivalence on the other side. And they just want more. So look, if you want to do something this morning, Jordan Pace, who was on the show earlier, Representative Jordan Pace, you can go to the South, he told us about this, you can go to the South Carolina Freedom Caucus website and sign the petition to remove its two professors and an employee. It's SouthCarolinaFreedom.com, SouthCarolinaFreedom.com. I've already signed it. And it's just a demand that these people be removed from office. And when you read the tweets, it's jaw-dropping that this university has not fired them yet, as Jordan Pace pointed out. And when we have even left-wing blue states where these people are being fired for calls for violence, and yet we can't get it done at Clemson. By the way, where is our governor? Can I just have one show where I don't say that? Where is the governor? So frustrating. Anyway, Melvin Earle, a professor at Clemson, wrote of Charlie Kirk being assassinated, today was one of the most beautiful days ever. This was such a beautiful day. And this one is the most chilling, I think. He writes about us, the right, not being able to speak in public anymore for fear of our lives. He's for that. He tweets, can't speak in public no more. Think about the ramifications. They get this, Lee. This is why they want to kill more people on our side. They get this. This will silence us if it gets going, and they want it to get going. And those are not South Carolina values. Those aren't Clemson values. These people need to lose their jobs so that others will not continue calling for violence, or we're going to end up with a lot of bloodshed.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know who. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Leftists on Blue Sky are posting hit lists to the people they want to murder next. We've got to stop this trend. It is critical that people calling for more deaths be identified and fired, just so this will not pick up trend and become a thing on the left. This is literally not about revenge, not about, you know, hurting people with cancellation, but saving lives, trying to stop this movement before it gets off the ground and there's mass bloodshed at the hands of the left. Joining me now is Jackson Huberlin. He is the social chair of the Clemson College Republicans. Good morning, Jackson.
I'm sorry, what did you say?
Good morning, Jackson.
Oh, good morning, everybody. Sorry.
That's okay. Welcome to the show. Can you give us an update on what is going on? Three people all but calling for more deaths or lauding the death of Charlie Kirk, suggesting this is a good thing. Two of them, I understand, are professors. The other one is a six-figure employee of Clemson. And at first, the university leadership tried to say free speech, no big deal. But then all hell broke loose over the weekend. They're like, okay, we'll suspend one of them. What's the latest on that, Jackson?
Yeah, so obviously the moment that the death happened, we all immediately kind of went into overdrive going out and tabling. And we really just expected it to be another campaign, but quickly we got many emails from students and even parents about the comments that professors had been making and, you know, how it made them feel in their classes. So pretty quickly we reached out to staff and we made posts about it, you know, and we kind of just expected like a super quick reaction because, I mean, thank you so much for reading them verbatim. They're just so damning. I mean, you know, with Robin Newberry's post being like a deliberate call to action.
For more assassinations.
Exactly. Yeah. And Melvin's post, you know, being like, it's a beautiful day. I mean, it's such a truly just a repulsive post. Like, that's why if you look at most of these news articles trying to be unbiased, most of them have not even directly featured the quotes, or they splash them on screen, or they say some of these comments are seen as offensive by some students. I mean, but the truth is, if you read it, I mean, they are actionable claims. But so currently, we have not been given back official word. We've been made aware that there's being a special session that's being called at, I think it's 2 p.m. today. This hopefully will have some results, but
special session of
the Board of Trustees. Sorry.
Okay. For Clemson University.
You know, these are people who would be able to make the decision. I've had some people who are more on the inside of this say that this really should be a Jim Clements decision. Some people who are, you know, close to people on the Board of Trustees who I have implied frustration at Jim Clements not himself making this decision because it is within his abilities, from what I understand. Obviously, and I'm not going to the end on that, but I've been told that by sources. But currently, we haven't been given any decisive action. We've only just seen pushback from other students, you know, because students don't want to see the university lose funding. A lot of students don't understand that this is the only leverage that we have to make sure that this culture of violence stops. So I know me personally, all that I've gotten back is not a word from Clemson, but plenty of words from my peers that are not very encouraging. So it's a little hard out here to keep fighting for this, but it's something that I'm passionate about. And it's something that I really appreciate all the representation you guys are putting out on.
Well, Hannah, how does this make you feel? I mean, during Black Lives Matter era, $2 billion worth of damage. We saw violence every day from the left. The Black Lives Matter movement was lauded on every corner of campus by the faculty. It was injected into the football program. And that was a very violent movement. That was the objection that I had to that. And a lot of other people had to listen. You are celebrating a violent movement. And now we have an assassination of Charlie Kirk. And you've got the faculty and the leadership of Clemson right now holding strong and backing those who have called or all but called for more assassinations of the right. Never mind. That's got to be at least half the student body.
Yeah. I mean, for me personally, you know, I'm 18. I'm so young that I hardly even remember the BLM movement. But I know, you know, from the people I know who have been here for longer or postgraduate degree students, I've seen many people who've claimed there's a very clear discrepancy in how these shootings were handled. And I don't know, I just, the fact that there has been no transparent message and there has been only these, you know, sort of weaker statements from the people saying, yeah, we don't support assassinations. Like, okay, but do you, you're willing to pay for people who do, you know, you're not drawing the line on this. But it's definitely something that I think the BLM movement did have a lot stronger of response. I mean, I've looked back at some of the posts that I've been shared by my sort of co-people in Clemson College Republicans and all the co-executives. And it's, you know, we look back at the posts and we see great support, you know, organized events, institutional support for it. But yet the biggest assassination of our lifetimes. I mean, I know this is the biggest assassination of my entire life. Something that was so big that it represents like a real shift in this country. And we've seen very little response. You know, we haven't seen any organized parades. We haven't seen any, really anything. So it does feel like, a double standard in this case. And, I know that's why many of my fellow students are pushing hard. For me personally, it comes down a lot more to the fact that I just love the school. I don't think it's what it stands for, but a lot of my students think it is what it stands for.
Murder.
But,
murder of people you disagree with.
I'm sorry, what did you say?
Murder, that what the school stands for. Right now, murder of people you disagree with is a legitimate debate, apparently, to be having on
unfortunately,
campus.
Yeah, unfortunately, there are professors who seem to imply that that is an acceptable message to put out. It is bothersome. You know, I'm a conservative.
Well, it's a leadership protecting them, Jackson. I want to ask you one more thing. So far, we have had the Speaker of the House of South Carolina, of our legislature, condemn this and demand that Clemson fire these people. But we even heard a thing from our governor, Henry McMaster. He's AWOL on this. Do you have anything to say to the governor?
I mean, I'll be honest. Looking through all the support, it has been shocking that McMaster hasn't had any comment. I know that every candidate for the governor race, essentially, every politician currently in office, even people who I didn't know about, you know, not to be mean to them, you know, for how supportive they've been. But we've had overwhelming support across the board for every South Carolinian politician. But it is shocking that we haven't heard anything from McMaster. And I do wish we had more support on that end, because he is, at the end of the day, the big dog here.
Absolutely. Anything else you want to add, Jackson Heberlin?
Honestly, that's about it. I mean, we've been, you know, if you want to look at my Twitter, I'm Jackson Heb on Twitter. We've put all the information out there. But yeah, at this point, almost getting tired of having to tell the same story. But you know, there's no
keep fighting
seen yet.
Keep fighting. We can't lose this one. We
absolutely
cannot.
Absolutely. Well, that's why I'm out here now. Even, you know, I'm standing by our table. We're about to do some tabling even now, but.
An incredible who's come by your table, by the way. I was on your X feed watching, and I retweeted it because it was so shocking. A Clemson student, and she's just grooving out, talking about how excited she is that Charlie Kirk's dead. Smiling. I mean, she's happy.
Yeah. She looked straight into the camera and she said, she handed us a piece of paper that said something very disturbing about the death. You know, you can find it on my Twitter at Jackson Heeb. H-E-A-B, and Jackson spelled with a K. And, but when she handed us that piece of paper, you know, I went to immediately ask, you know, why do you support the execution of Charlie Kirk? You know, what made you feel comfortable sharing this with me on campus? Because we're out there, you know, it's a public forum. This is like in front of everyone. And she kind of tried to push it off, but eventually she turned around and she looked into the camera directly. And she said, because he's a terrible person and he deserved to die. And I was so shocked at that. I was just said, you know, like, well, thank you very much. Have a good day. Because it's just, you know, what can you say to that? That is an open declaration that this is not a public forum. This is not a free space to argue. She thinks that people like me should just be dead.
Yep. That's what we're up against, Jackson. That's why we have to fight. And I want to thank you so much, by the way, for joining us on the show. this morning. If you want to sign the petition asking the leadership of Clemson to fire these people who your tax dollars pay, who are calling for more assassinations of people like you, you can sign the Clemson petition by going to SouthCarolinaFreedom.com. I've already signed it. SouthCarolinaFreedom.com, because murdering people on the right is not okay.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah, you're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland think of the Browns, outside of Browns.
You know
fans.
Why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos, maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Texter writes, on the Common Sense Retirement Planning at text line, I still can't get over this feeling of loss from this shooting. I've lived through so many life-changing events, and this feels like something else. My soul felt this. Do you feel that way? It's best captured last week when the word sleep and slept trended over and over on X with the top trending thing. People couldn't sleep. They were so disturbed by this. But I want to point out kind of what's going on here. You may have known who Charlie Kirk was, but you cannot understand how this hit this younger generation. And let me explain what's going on right now. We've been talking about this trend for a while now, really the last year. Anyone wondering why Gen Z now leads every other generation in church attendance, and it's the young men who are stepping up. It's the young men who are going back to church. Anybody wondering why Gen Z now leads every other generation in church attendance and is the only generation with growing church attendance? We've never seen that before. Why are young men going back? This way preceded Charlie Kirk. Why are they going back to church? Well, I know because I have two teenage boys, one of whom's been walking around with tears in his eyes for days now. Why? He knew Charlie Kirk. These are who these boys and young men identify with. Why? They tuned in, started 7, 8, maybe 10 years ago. And it's Charlie Kirk, yes, but it's others too. It's Matt Walsh. It's Ben Shapiro. It's so many of them. They tuned in to conservative male influencers because of the alienation they felt from a society that told them they were toxic and that maleness was bad. That is why they tune in. That is why they share the videos. And it spreads. And so young men are tuning in. They're seeking out a place that says you're not bad because you're male. You're not wrong because you were born in a male body. You are not toxic. You are a beautiful human being in the eyes of God. And young men who would never click on or watch a religious video got a religious message around the edges from influencers like Charlie Kirk. And before you know it, they're checking out local churches and filling the pews. This is what is driving this over the last few years. So what the left started when they told a generation of young men they were oppressors ended with those young men sitting in the pews of churches when their parents had never taken them. And registering Republican folks, I've still got the chart up on my X account at the highest rate in 100 years, lowest Democrat registration in 100 years for young men, highest Republican registration for young men in 100 years. And then this weekend, folks, did you see this? Headline, Americans surge back to church on September 14th. Data confirms attendance rebound. Church track contending at a massive surge of people heading to church. Are you surprised by this? Were you one of them? My daughter, who normally puts up sometimes a little bit of a fight about going to church, comes up to me and I'm on the treadmill. It's before church. I'm, you know, stomping away. Mom, I want to go to church today. What? Mom, yeah, I can't wait to go to church today. Really? Okay. And I gave her a hug. I'm like, this is fantastic. And she wanted to hear what they would say about Charlie Kirk. She wanted to hear about it from a moral perspective. She was deeply moved by it. She is horrified that he was assassinated. He was such a nice guy. But why are these young men leading a generation back? Again, church attendance is the highest among Generation Z, and it's growing at the fastest rate among Generation Z. because people turned it, boys especially, tuned into Charlie Kirk and Ben Shapiro and Matt Walsh and all of these people, and a lot of people I'm not naming here, to be told, you're okay, you're not bad because you're a man and you were born in a man's body. You're not bad, you're a good person. And around the edges, they heard this from Charlie Kirk.
For those of you that are not yet believers, it's very simple. You're going to have a court date, we all die, and you're all going to meet the supreme judge of the universe. For those of you that are not yet believers, it's very simple. You're going to have a court date, we all die, and you're all going to meet the supreme judge of the universe. Justice is getting what you deserve, which is going to a not so good place. We're all sinners, and we all fall short of the glory of God. But thanks to the cross, a perfect, loving God who came down in human form, human flesh, lived a perfect life and died for us so that we could live forever. At that moment, we're about to get that sentencing into eternal damnation. Somebody says, no, I know him. I know her. Welcome to eternal life. You have an opportunity. The gospel in four words is Jesus took my place. Three words is him for me. Two words is substitutionary atonement. And one word is grace. Grace, you cannot earn. Grace, you do not pay for. It doesn't matter how much money you give to the hospital. You can't earn it. It doesn't matter if you're a good person. It doesn't matter if you have always done the best you can, because what's different about Christianity is that it's a gift for all of humanity to receive regardless of everything that we have done. And your life will be transformed. You will be born again. Grace is not earned. It is given by a God who loves you and wants to spend eternity with you. It is the most important decision you can make in your life. Here I am. God bless you guys. Thank you so much.
And all over TikTok this weekend, this was trending. Actually, I'm at the end of the segment. I'm going to play it for you next. It's really beautiful. People picking up the Bible, following the steps of Charlie Kirk. Folks, this is not a new movement, but this is going to throw gasoline on the fire. We've already seen these young conservative male influencers pushing people back into the pews. This is only going to accelerate it. And folks, you know what was amazing this weekend? All of the NFL games on the field where Charlie Kirk was memorialized. Folks, that's as mainstream as you can get. And understand this. This is the same NFL that in 2021 was giving players a choice of the social justice decals they could wear, including Black Lives Matter, as Black Lives Matter was burning down cities and destroying businesses of innocent business owners. And now they're honoring Charlie Kirk in a very mainstream way. Do you know what this means? That the folks at the NFL took a look at that election and they said, wow, these people are not only not a weird fringe, as Joe Biden told us, they're the majority. And they're incorporating us into their culture because we are the culture. And it's only going to grow. Dexter writes, where'd it go? I haven't felt this bad for America since MLK was assassinated. 9/11 was an act of war by foreigners, but MLK and Kirk were assassinated by our own citizens. Another texter writes, our church had record attendance yesterday. Church track, yes. Massive surge in people going to church. You know what I think they wanted? I think they just wanted a way to get clean. I think that this last week was so devastating, and my teenager comes up to me, and I have two who are very religious and one who's, you know, kind of gives her mom a little trouble about going to church and said, Mom, I want to go. You what? About fell off the treadmill. You want to do what? Yes, I want to go this weekend. That's the difference. And it's not just us. Here's RFK, head of the Health and Human Services Department, appointed by Trump. You know, RFK Jr.
My 17-year-old niece left for Europe to go to college. And while she was packing, her mother, Amaryllis, my daughter-in-law, noticed that she had put a Bible in her suitcase. And Amaryllis was curious about it. And she asked her, and Zoe said to her, I want to live like Charlie Kirk.
Not an isolated event. You should see what's trending on TikTok. It's like good versus evil, I swear. This is so many of these people talking about going back. It's already happening. Going back, watching the Charlie Kirk clips. And he's talking a lot about politics, he's talking a lot about other things, but he's also threads his religion through everything unapologetically. That's a shocking thing for this generation to see. And it's having an effect. Here's just one of the TikTok videos. This is my favorite, but there were thousands trending over the weekend.
I've never, ever opened the Bible before. In fact, I know nothing about Christianity or Jesus. But yesterday, after witnessing the assassination of Charlie Kirk on the internet, and it just being so normal to people, like watching this man get shot in the neck, and everybody being so desensitized and just going on with life like it was normal, something was calling me to my husband's Bible. My mother-in-law and my father-in-law, my husband, you know, they have been trying to bring me to Christianity, you know, since I met them. They're not like overbearing, they don't force it on me, but like, you know, they talk about it. And they respect that, like, I don't know how I feel. But for the very first time yesterday, I grabbed the Bible. I don't know what I'm looking for in the Bible. I don't know why I felt like I needed to grab the Bible. But I grabbed my husband's Bible. And the page that I opened up to was the verse, John 8:32. And it said, then you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. And I feel like that changed me so much, because up until yesterday, I leaned both ways politically. I am pro-life, but I also believe women should have autonomy over their bodies. I don't care if someone is gay, but I don't want sexuality pushed on my children in school. I believe in the Second Amendment, but like, it also makes me sad that bad guys have guns too. I've never voted before, but after yesterday, I know where I stand. I will never cast a blue vote. I am convinced that the Democratic Party...
Amen. Folks, this is just the beginning.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns
You know why
fans.
It's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.